Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. You can always email me, paul@americaweekend.com, or call the show toll free at 855-538-TALK. That's 538-8255. Our area code is 855. On Thursday, President Obama gave a speech to the National Defense University and to all of the networks who were covering it to broadcast it worldwide, in which he defiantly defended his use of drones to assassinate suspected extremists overseas, including Americans. But he also talked about wanting to shut down Guantanamo Bay. These have been two rather controversial issues in the ongoing war on terror, which, by the way, the president said we should try to find an end to at some point. Not that we won't have people around the world who hate America and continue to want to kill us, but we need to find a way to end the global war on terror, if possible. Here with some thoughts on that is retired Air Force Major General Charles Dunlap. Charlie, welcome to America Weekend.
Paul, thank you very much. Really appreciate the opportunity to join you on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure having you here. Let's start with the president and his, I guess you'd have to call it an unapologetic defense of the use of drones. He says he wants to continue using them because he says they're legal and generally moral and a last resort for getting terrorists when capture is out of the question. But he wants to figure out a better way to do this. And it seemed like he was talking about oversight as well. What did you think of what he said?
I thought that the president made a real effort at transparency and sharing what information he could about the process. I think that it is the kind of speech, though, that is not going to make everyone happy at either end of the political spectrum. I think at one end you'll have people saying that he is constraining the use of drones, which in fact he is, especially particularly outside the Afghan theater of operations. At the same time, I think there are those who will be upset that the use of drone that he's defending the use of drones under any circumstances. So I think that's the situation that we find ourselves in, and there are pluses and minuses to the policies that he outlined in the speech.
When you talk about a change in the way we use drones, what will the practical application of that be? What will those changes actually be?
Well, it sounds from what the president said is that he's making the policy decision that that the use outside the Afghan theater is going to be, quote, heavily constrained. And he's putting a particular limit on it, which I find interesting and a bit concerning. For example, one of the criteria he set forth was that there had to be a near certainty that there would be no civilian casualties. And, of course, that's not the law of war, and international law doesn't require that. That's a policy decision that he's made. And as you might imagine, our adversaries go to school on what our announced policies are. And so what do you think the incentive would be for adversaries if they hear that there's a near certainty that they won't be attacked if there are civilians around? Well, they're going to embed themselves with civilians. And that is why the law of war, for example, doesn't require zero civilian casualties.
But I guess what he was saying was, he said in his speech that civilian casualties can serve as a powerful recruiting tool for terrorist groups. So I guess what he's saying is, rather than getting them in a building, you know, if there's one guy we want and we know he's in a house or a hut with three, four, five other people, possibly including women and children, we're going to try to hold off and wait until we can get that person isolated. Is that possible in a theater of war?
It sometimes is. You might remember when Al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, was killed. He wasn't killed by a drone, but he had been tracked by a drone for 600 hours. And they waited till the exact precise moment. They ended up using a conventional aircraft to drop a bomb on him. But the advantage of drones, one of the advantages, is that you do have the chance to surveil the target for an extended period of time. Now, that's done for many reasons, one of which, of course, is to limit civilian casualties, but another reason is to gather intelligence. Where is he going? Who is coming to see him? What is his, quote, pattern of life, is what the intelligence folks would say. So that is one advantage of the drone process. They can loiter for an extended period of time and watch a particular site for an extended period of time.
Part of what the president announced the other day was also that he is moving control of the drone program away from the CIA and putting it fully in the hands of the military. Is that a good idea?
Well, I don't know that there's going to be any practical difference. I mean, I can't tell you I have any familiarity with what any intelligence agency may be doing with drones. But I can only imagine that they're using similar rules of engagement and so forth. However, sometimes the medium is the message, and it may make people more comfortable with these instrumentalities being in the hands of the armed forces, because, as you probably know, the military is the most trusted institution in American society. So it may help in some places raise the comfort level.
He also said that he would like Congress to help develop some sort of new safeguards, perhaps setting up a new court that would vet potential drone targets, or set up some sort of independent body inside the executive branch to do so. I would assume that there's already a group of people who are involved in making these decisions. It's not like one person sitting at the control says, I'm going to get this guy. But it seems to me like he might be talking about either judicial or perhaps civilian oversight of the drone program, even if it is in the hands of the military. What do you think about that?
Well, he did suggest that. I am not in favor of that. I mean, I think that there should be oversight. And perhaps it is a different question about when you're using force outside an area of active hostilities. But the idea that you could have a court and judges and so forth trying to pick targets, the courts have repeatedly said that they aren't competent to do that. And I can understand that because it's a very complex process. So there's one thing to have oversight in terms of setting the broad policy parameters, reporting what's happened afterwards and so forth, but the actual decision as to literally picking targets is something that I think that military professionals ought to do. And I'd also say that while a lot of people think, well, if we had a court like the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, then all would be well, I don't think that will quiet any critics, because that court conducts its proceedings entirely in secret.
Yep.
In fact, there's only been one or two published decisions ever in the history of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have to publicly report their how many warrants, they didn't turn down any last year, and it's very rare for them to turn any down. So the idea that somehow this is a silver bullet to gain credibility, I don't think is more credibility than the program may already have.
Are there other countries using drones this way?
I'm trying to think. I think I read somewhere where there's something like 80 countries that are developing drones. I think it's a mistake to focus on the weapon. I think it's more important to focus on what the weapon is being used for. But clearly, drones are the wave of the future, or the weapon of today and tomorrow in military activities.
Well, part of the reason why I ask, Charlie, is because I wonder if the Obama administration is not only trying to set new policies for the U.S., but set an example for what policies should be for the rest of the world. I don't know whether they would follow it, but could that be part of the plan?
I think you're onto something, Paul. I do think that the very public way they've done this, because it's not just the president's speech. On the White House website, they have a fact sheet on the use of lethal force that came out contemporaneously with the speech. And in addition, I think a day or two before the speech, the Attorney General sent a letter to Patrick Leahy outlining the use of force. So I do think, I haven't seen anything explicit on this, but I think your intuition on this is correct. The United States is trying to set some normative parameters that perhaps will gain acceptance around the world about how these systems should be used. And it pretty much recites the kinds of predicates that you would be concerned with under international law for an act in national self-defense or an act under international human rights law, which is sort of a police-like legal regime.
Yeah, I can see other states defining terrorist very differently than we do. But I'm all out of time, and I appreciate your time here today, Charlie. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Paul.
Retired Air Force Major General Charlie Dunlap, who is now a law professor at Duke University, here with Paul Harris on America Weekend. We'll take a break, and then I'll be back with today's edition of Knuckleheads in the News.